You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
Yes, welcome in. Today, across the Score North network of podcasts, it is a glorious day because it is NFL free agency tampering day. So at any given moment, even like during the Score North Twin Show, we have a flagrant howls. Kyle Argus, and I mean, at any point, NFL news could break. Kirk Cousins could, maybe by the time you hear this podcast, Kirk Cousins has made his decision. Mm-hmm. It could send everything into a tailspin. So be sure to check out Purple Daily for reaction throughout the day on the tampering period and Kirk Watch 2024. But boys, we start the Score North Twin Show with some breaking show news here today. Are you excited for breaking show news? Hey, guys, how are we doing?
I'm very excited.
I'm good. Yeah,
I'm very excited. I'm glued to my phone, though. I mean, truth be told, I'm glued to my phone. I'm Schefter-ing it today.
That's my worry about this Score North Twin Show is that, like, Judd's not going to pay any attention.
That's not true.
Declan's going to be
true.
Trying
no,
to, like, find Kirk news on Twitter. I'm going to be checking texts and DMs and
but,
stuff.
I mean, yeah, we got to pay attention. We, you know what? We're serving many masters today.
Well, we're serving one master. It's Kirk Cousins.
And
we will see what he does.
But yes, I'm excited.
So here's the breaking show news. Starting for the regular season. Actually, I think we're gonna do this starting March 19th, just as a first episode. But we are gonna introduce Tuesdays with Trevor. Trevor Plouffe jumping on board as a new weekly contributor here on the Score North Twin Show.
Awesome.
He was one of my favorite players to cover back in the day, like the early to mid 2010s. He was a first round draft pick by the Twins, hit a bunch of home runs a couple seasons. Lately, he's been part of John Boy Media, which is one of the biggest baseball centric media platforms out there. He hosts Talkin' Baseball, Baseball Today, and even last year started doing some work, as you guys saw, for Bally Sports North, and he will continue that into 2024. And he's jumping on board Tuesdays during the regular season, Tuesdays with Trevor.
I love it. It's going to be great too, because he does a perfect job of sort of walking the tightrope of being, you know, he loves the sport, but he gets the sport now as opposed to the old, it's not an old crusty thing. It's going to be fantastic. And I think it's going to add a lot of credibility to a show that, hey, look, was credible already, but now we got a former big league player. And at some point, Phil, once things get comfortable, I'm hoping that you can broach the throwing disease story at some point, because
you've told
that story 1,000 times. I would love to hear now in retrospect. I'm sure he remembers it, right? Like, you don't get accused of having throwing disease.
Yeah.
Like, so at some point, once things get comfortable and we're in a real a comfortable spot, I'd love to hear, like,
so
both sides of
all the
story.
Things that you are excited to talk to Trevor Plouffe about, the worst day of his major league career, you're coming out
that's
of the gate as an ambulance chaser.
That's
right away. Trevor
Plouffe,
welcome aboard.
Let's
talk about the worst day of your major league career.
What did I
you
just
made
say?
Two throwing errors
I said
in the
once
same game.
It's not the errors. Those happen. I want to hear being asked about having a throwing. Do you have a throwing disease? Which, of course, doesn't really exist. But what the hell?
Hey, Trevor, do you remember the time Judd pissed off Jim Thome in the locker room? The hardest guy to piss off in the entire world. Were you also? What do you think of Judd when you remember that? Now you get to work with him. Every
I don't
Tuesday.
Think Trevor Plouffe would remember me much. I was around very at the for what. Tail end of his time here last year or so, but anyway, yes, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic, and welcome aboard, Trevor Plouffe.
Yes,
yeah, I mean,
we're excited.
I love Talkin' Baseball. They actually put out their Twins preview episode. They're doing like one by one, and they definitely pre-recorded a bunch of them because they did their whole Twins preview that launched yesterday, and there wasn't one mention of Manuel Margot with like the acquisitions that they made. So they probably pre pre-recorded that a few weeks ago.
Did they change, like shirts and stuff, or did they just wear the same thing for all 30?
I do think they at least somewhat change shirts, yes. I think they do. But Trevor kind of obviously led that episode because he obviously has connections to the Twins and whatnot. I love the attitude he brings, and he definitely loves his Twins and is maybe even more obviously the bigger Twins homer, if you will, of the three guys when they talk Twins on that show, obviously given his history with the team.
Yeah.
But he's very objectable. I love what he's been able to do with talking baseball, and I'm really excited to talk Twins on every Tuesday.
Yeah, he was great, man. He was part of the, like, the first few years at Target Field. He actually had, I think he had a, didn't he have a walk-off hit to avoid 100 losses in one of those seasons, too, against the Royals,
the
like 2011 or 12 or somewhere there. So there's a lot of things we'll tell some stories with him. We'll have fun. We'll obviously talk Twins every week. So welcome Trevor Plouffe to the Score North Twin Show. Okay, boys, time for some spring training overreactions here. This is a safe space, by the way. Okay. These can be a little hot takey because they are spring training overreactions, but we'll start with Declan. Twins, by the way, smoked the Yankees on Saturday. The Yankees kind of B squad that traveled from Tampa. They've gotten the Twins were like 1-5 at one point in spring training, and they're putting some more wins on the board for those of you that care about spring training standings. But Declan, lead us off with a spring training overreaction.
All right, my spring training overreaction. I will take your lead A topic here, if you will, from over the weekend, and my overreaction statement, if you will, is Byron Buxton is officially back. Byron Buxton is officially back.
Wow.
Big weekend. Couple triples, a home run, looking comfortable at the plate. He's even been roping hits in simulated games and in situations off Twins pitching as well. Boys, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I told you going into the offseason, anything extra or anything you can get at all from Byron Buxton is gravy because this lineup was good. They were able to make the playoffs basically without him last year. They accomplished things that they were able to do with him not being on the field. But you know what? I am buying the Buxton Kool-Aid. I have kind of written him off for the last 6 months of, you know what, I think I'm finally off the Byron Buxton hype train, if you will, after 10 years essentially here of waiting him to reach his ceiling. No. I'm running back down the train tracks,
wow.
And I am hopping on that last car, and I'm back on the Byron Buxton train. Byron Buxton is back. That's my spring training overreaction.
Wow. So this was the first time that he has been out there back-to-back days. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I think I'm a little closer to siding with Declan's spring training overreaction here than the other way. I didn't think he was going to play center field as early as he did. I thought they might wait. I'm glad that they went out early and said, let's find out right away. Because then at least we're going to know once we get closer to the regular season. So they started putting him out there pretty much right away. And this is the first time he's played in back-to-back games. And there's still, 2.5 weeks left of spring training action. So I love it. They're putting him to the test. A couple of triples. Like the one triple, he jogged it out of the box because he wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And he still winds up with like the easiest triple you'll ever see. So, man, he is still, I know he's 30 years old now, right? But that dude can still move. And to have a game like that, it's spring training, and then come back out there and feel good enough to take 4 plate appearances the very next day. This is probably the most positive stuff we've seen from him in 2 years, because last year they just decided no center field. He doesn't feel good enough to play center field, so they just didn't even try, right? So you got to go back to like 2022, maybe the first half of the season, the last time collectively we felt like, oh, interesting. Okay, maybe he is going to be healthy here.
Yeah, it felt like there was, and naturally, this time last year in the spring training, there was still the eggshell feeling with Buxton, right? And I'm sure there is still there's a huge portion of the fan base and maybe even the organization that is having some eggshell stepping each day that happens with Buxton. But last year, it felt like this doesn't seem right and this is going to be awful. And then in 2022, I think it was like the second or third series of the year in Boston, right, in Fenway. And he ran to second base, and he immediately slammed his hand down like he knew he did something wrong or something popped. Something was an issue where it was like, that was strange. Why is he running into second base? And he's pissed off. So
Yeah. The thing about last year is the more that you read about 2023, he shouldn't have played at all. Like that's the thing. He should have been just like, again, I will say what we talked about last week, which is, this guy last year probably, it wasn't that he couldn't DH in retrospect. It's that he couldn't play baseball. And so, like, I think we're gleaning, well, he sucked at DH, when the reality was he shouldn't have played. But the thing that encouraged me on Sunday, or on Saturday against the Yankees, not the home run, but those triples. Because that speaks to the fact that the guy can run now again. And I don't know, I mean, he's not going to be as fast as he was at 25, I'm sure. But it's just great to see that the dude can run comfortably. And I would say that what we have seen about 2023, he did not have a game where he was comfortable.
No, he only had, it's not like he hasn't had like a Christian Guzman 20 triple season at any point. In fact, he only has 21 regular season triples in his career. But he only had one last year in the 85 games that he played. So he wasn't even, and there are some times where maybe he could have tried to stretch one.
Sure.
So to me, it's about like feeling good enough in a spring training game, feeling good enough to even attempt to stretch two into three. Because you could, at this point in your career, dude, you've had knee issues, chronic knee issues for 7 or 8 years. You've had every other injury under the sun. It's spring training baseball. No one is expecting him to go for a triple, even in the regular season. Like if the Twins were to say, hey, he's feeling pretty good, but we've told him we don't need triples, dude. If you hit a ball off the wall or to the gap, just coast into second base. So it's an interesting sign that he feels good enough to, in a spring training game, go for three.
And, you know, we've talked about sometimes athletes, maybe they milk things, and fans also don't understand things, what's going on, and they're not being tough enough. And, you know, David Popkin said in that story with Bobby Nightingale last week that 99.9% of players would not have been able to play what Byron Buxton played through. Like, that dude is absolutely as tough as nails and wanted to try to give it a go as much as he could. But it does feel like, knock on wood, the surgery that's happened, all the steps that have taken place in spring training, that hopefully this thing is finally trending in the right direction for the first time in years with him being up with the Twins.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts, or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. Yeah, and by the way, spring training stats mean absolutely nothing, but he does have a 1257 OPS in the six games he's played. Again, super small sample size. It's spring training. A lot of times you're facing guys that won't even be on major league rosters in some of these plate appearances, but this is a dream start. If you're rooting for Buxton and the Twins to have the best lineup that they can, and for him to have, you know, a resurgence and for him to be healthy, like, what you didn't want to see was, oh, his first six games, he has two hits, he's striking out all the time, and he can't play center field because his knee's not ready, right? He's playing in center. He's knocking the crap out of the ball. He's running as well as he ever has. So, like, really good signs, but I still am, you know, let's see the next couple weeks play out and get into the regular season.
Absolutely, yeah. If he gets to 100 games for the first time since 2017, that's a success. If he can play 100 games, I think is an overreaction success, because it's so rare. So rare. All right.
Okay. Deck, hold on. Declan's texting us. It's Kirk Watch 2024. Okay, do we have to end this episode to do an emergency?
Have to end.
No?
Do not have to end.
So but, he will hit free agency. He will.
A note. A note worth passing along to my colleagues as we come up with our great Twins takes on the fly too.
Okay.
Boys, brew your coffee, because Kirk being Kirk is going to carry this. I think this is going to be a day long telethon.
I couldn't sleep last night. Like,
I couldn't either. I woke up 6
times. Not because
of
daylight savings. Like, I legitimately don't think I somewhat fell asleep till probably 2:30.
And that's what Kirk wants. And that's what Kirk wants. Kirk wants you. Kirk's going to drag this out as long as he possibly can.
Scrolling at,
if nothing else, he's going to have the Falcons making an offer, and then the Vikings, who I think are very much in this still. So, yeah, brew your coffee and prepare for the first ever essentially day long episode.
A Kirkathon.
Kirk-a-thon. A purple daily. Kirk-a-thon. All right.
Okay. All right. Next overreaction. Baseball. Judd, give us an overreaction.
All right. My overreaction is this. Manuel Margot is going to be your opening day left fielder, because Matt Wallner is going to be in St. Paul. Matt Wallner is, and again, it's spring training, but Matt Wallner is far more susceptible to reactions from spring training than Byron Buxton. Like, if Buxton struggles, and he's not, but if he did, you know what? They're going to, like, push through that, right? Yeah. Matt Wallner is 1-for-17. He has struck out 7 times in those 17 official at-bats. That's a .059 average, and his on-base, obviously, is awful, .227. His slugging is .118. Matt Wallner is going to start the season in St. Paul. Manuel Margot is going to be your left fielder on opening day, and I think there's a fighting chance that a guy like Trevor Larnach could grab a spot. It's not that Matt Wallner's a bust, and it's not that he's going to spend the entire season in AAA. Don't get me wrong. But we've seen this story before, and he is struggling in a big way. And Phil, you sort of talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think. So my overreaction is that an awful spring is going to have Wallner across the river resetting on opening day.
So, okay, I know this is a safe space for overreactions. So, you know, if that gets clipped for social media, Judd's going to get smoked for this. But in context of its overreaction Monday here,
I think
he gets the grace of having put up really good regular season numbers. I mean, this comes down to philosophically, how much does this front office care if you struggle statistically or just struggle? I mean, forget about stats. Like, if you just struggle, period, in spring training, do they give you leeway? To your point, if Byron Buxton struggles, but he feels good, it doesn't matter. If he feels good, they're going to run him out there because he's been in the major leagues for 10 years. If Carlos Correa struggles and hits a .195 or something in spring training, okay, he's Carlos Correa. Spring training numbers don't matter. Spring training performance matters to the guys a little bit more, I think, that are on the edge. But I still think they would put more stock into the 76 games he played in the regular season with an .877 OPS, 39% above league average. I think that would weigh out when constructing an opening day 26-man roster. But to your point, if the struggles continue for like the first 2 or 3 weeks in the regular season,
right?
And Trevor Larnach, by the way, is having a good spring training so far, right? He's got like an OPS of 900 or 1,000. Again, yeah, we're talking about 20 plate appearances of sample size, so you can't make judgments off these, but it is interesting that you've got some other options here, and we'll see how much they put stock into actual spring training performance with this one.
Mm-hmm. And Plouffe actually talked about a little bit with this yesterday on the Talkin' Baseball preview episode that he's very bullish on Matt Wallner. Wallner had a hell of a start. Him and Kirloff are kind of, though, in this same bin of can they put it together for a full season with different reasons. Kirloff obviously being injured pretty much the last 2 or 3 years and not living up to his potential. And Wallner coming in and absolutely mashing, but now there's a book on him. Now there's a scouting report on him. Now he's not going to let's be honest, with his numbers against right-handed pitching last year, Matt Wallner's probably not going to have an OPS of near 1,000. It'd be great if he did, but that'd be a pretty insane bar for a guy to pass with only, 55, 75 games under his belt that he had with the Twins last year. I don't even know if he even got up to that much.
76. He played 76.
So yes, regression's probably going to happen, but I do think they'll give Wallner the benefit of the doubt out of spring training. If he does struggle the first series or two of the year, maybe you could see a demotion to St. Paul.
There's been a couple examples where this front office has just completely ignored someone's huge spring training that you think, oh my God, that guy did enough to make the team. And it's like, okay, but it's spring training.
Right.
So we're not going to overly weigh it on the positive side. I'm saying, like, somebody will mash and hit a bunch of home runs.
Right.
Will they do the same thing on the opposite end with Matt Wallner if he doesn't pick it up? But it is something to watch because Larnach is a former first round pick.
And Margot is that he's the one that I think he was brought here to play more than we expect. And unlike Michael A. Taylor, he's not necessarily a center fielder. He's a corner guy too. He's the fly in the ointment to me as far as playing time goes. So, but anyway, I'm overreacting. Matt Wallner, terrible start to spring. It's going to cost him a job. Overreacting.
But another thing, like to your Margot point, their best defensive outfield would be Buxton in center and Margot maybe in one of these corner spots, which you've seen different variations of this the last 20 years of Twins baseball.
And if Kepler's in right, that's a pretty damn good outfield.
Yep, that's probably the best defensive outfield in baseball. And they've done this before in the past. We're like, okay, let's put multiple center fielders out defensively and just kind of figure it out. Carlos Gomez, you're in center. Denard Span, you're in right field over here. Or they put Ben Revere in corner spots over the years.
Put Ben Revere in right field. With the
and by they, it's the franchise, not necessarily this same front
office. No. Staff. I think it was Gardy. But perhaps the weakest arm in right field in the history of baseball.
Oh, my God.
He literally, he lobbed the ball in.
It was so bad. Yeah, he was one of the fastest players in baseball, so he could range and catch anything in the gaps, but they would put him in right field, like you said, and opposing teams would, on a base hit, runner on first base, without even, like, thinking, would go first to third and second to home. And I feel like I asked Gardy one time, like, hey, you know, his arm. And Gardy was not happy with the poking and the prodding, but Gardy liked to keep guys comfortable. So he liked to keep, if Spansy was comfortable in center, flipping them would have made sense because Span was a great right fielder at the Metrodome, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
But this is the same Gardy that would put like Mike Redmond in the three hole because he didn't want to upset the rest of the lineup when Joe Mauer was out.
They brought back Jason Bartlett and he made the opening day roster after being out of baseball for like 2 years. Remember that? Like he all of a sudden was playing left field on opening day.
In Cleveland.
That's right.
And he retired like 5 days later. He was just like, I'm good.
There was a fly ball to left in Cleveland where it looked like the ball had been hit to me. It's like, oh my God, what do I do?
Yeah. In fairness, he should not have been out there in the first place. Okay, here's my overreaction. Bailey Ober is about to take the leap. Like capital T, capital L.
I thought of this one. Yep.
So he, and again, this is a spring training overreaction, small sample size. He has 13 strikeouts in 7 1/3 spring innings pitched. His average fastball velocity is up a couple miles per hour. So his average fastball the last couple of years in the majors regular season, 91, 91 and a half miles an hour. He's regularly touching 94, 94 and a half. I think he was averaging 93 miles per hour in his last start. But even a couple ticks in velocity for him could make a huge difference. Bailey Ober is a dude to watch, man. Like, I know the innings limit was a thing last year, but now that he pushed up to 144 innings last year, you know, he was striking out a batter per nine. Could we see an even bigger step forward? He's one of their best strikeout to walk ratio guys already. Mm-hmm. If he could take a step up in velocity and strikeouts and not have it also increase his walks, we could see him jump into playoff rotation caliber starter status.
I love this one.
Bailey Ober.
Because I think you might be right about that. So if you want to play out the overreaction of the pitching staff, how about this? So Pablo Lopez is off to a bad start, but he's your ace. He's fine. Working on stuff. Who cares, right?
Yeah, he's fine.
Let me throw in, though, what the concern might be. Chris Paddock. Because it's an unknown. And if you guys recall, he came in relief in the playoffs. And the front office immediately started to spin that, right? As, oh, man, look at this stuff. He looks like he's back. But the dude's had two Tommy Johns. He's coming off one. He's not having a great spring, which I don't care about much, but here's what I do care about. It felt like an overreaction by the front office to be positive about a guy that we don't know yet. And he could be fine, but he could be. Like, Pablo Lopez isn't pitching well, and I don't care. Chris Paddock, I have no idea. So, like, my counter to yours, which I agree, Ober could be set to take the step. He could be set to be your second guy. Is that I have legitimate concerns until I see a prolonged period of success for Chris Paddock.
So could I counter your counter to my counter by saying maybe everyone's been overthinking this the entire time. Maybe everyone's been mischaracterizing this the entire time. They do still feel like they're a legitimate arm short in the starting rotation.
Yes.
But I think everyone's been assuming, oh, Paddock's going to step in. Sonny Gray is gone, and they're just like inserting Chris Paddock. Therefore, it's a one-for-one swap, and now the rotation is in terms of stature, it's Lopez, and then Paddock is expected to be the number two, and then Joe Ryan, and then like, could it be, though, that Joe Ryan getting another year under his belt. Joe Ryan, if you take out like the 7 weeks where he was hiding an injury and giving up five home runs every inning, if you take that out, he was actually really good. He's a big time strikeout starter, right? He's getting another year more mature.
Right.
He's a quirky dude, but like he's taking another step into his prime. He goes up a step. Bailey Ober, I think everyone's been kind of like, oh, he's Bailey Ober. You know, he was not a first round pick, you know, but he's just kind of a bottom of the rotation guy. Could Bailey Ober be the one that steps in and fills more of that Sonny Gray role than even Chris Paddock? And no one's really talking about it.
They're banking on Paddock. Like, for better or worse, they are very bullish on Chris Paddock. That's Falvey's been talking him up all offseason, and it's just a complete unknown when the guy's pitched, what, like 72 innings in the last 4 years?
Yeah.
It's alarming to have that much faith in a guy. I will say on Ober, you know, so last year, great control, good strikeout stuff. His chase rate was actually the 91st percentile in all of baseball, according to Baseball Savant. So he got hitters to chase his stuff. And it was his slider that got hit a ton last year. And this organization has preached sliders. They love their pitchers throwing sliders, right? So he has to, I think, up some of that secondary pitching because he's not really a ground ball pitcher. Like he's going to give up some hard hits. He's going to give up some fly balls. But you'd like to think that there's another level to his game where, yeah, he doesn't just ascend as, oh, Bailey Ober, nice mid-rotation piece. No, no, no. Bailey Ober as potentially 1B to Pablo Lopez. The guy can still obviously get there. So he has some things to work on, but I'm definitely more bullish that Bailey Ober can reach his ceiling than whatever this magical or mythical ceiling that they have for Chris Paddock is.
I think, so one more thing on Ober here. The innings breakthrough last year was a big milestone for him. So prior to last summer, if you combine all levels going back to college for him, and I'm sure there was some wood bat league like stuff that doesn't get characterized in like Baseball Reference. But from what I can tell, the most innings he had ever thrown in a professional season or a college season was 108 in 2021. And then 2022, he had some injury things that only he was like under 90 innings in 2022. And last year, between minor leagues and major leagues, he pitched 166 innings. First time he's ever. So 108 3 years ago to 166. He's like, OK, let's go. Like the training wheels are off for him. Right. Now he's going to be 175, 180 innings or more if. He can. It's about productivity more than like, you know, can his arm hold up? With Chris Paddock, it's about can his arm hold up and productivity.
Right.
So for that reason alone, like Bailey Ober is probably more in line to be a horse in 2024 than Chris Paddock. And then the productivity side of it too, if he's adding to his fastball, you know, this is a guy that in the minor leagues, every single level, like he has pretty much dominated Bailey Ober. 6'9". I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what he is in 2024. But the spring training signs are really good so far.
There's no question, too, that and I don't know if this would classify in the spirit of what we're doing right now, but there is no question, I think, as this unfolds and some question marks unfold, Louis Varlin is going to play a huge role in the starting rotation. Like at some point, it might not be opening day. It might be a month in. It might be two.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's no doubt in my mind that he is going to be. He's probably the difference between having to make a fairly substantial deadline deal and not.
That's another guy too. By the way, we're talking overreactions. How much stock do you put into a really good spring? Well, he's made 3 appearances, 7 innings. He has not allowed a run. 7 strikeouts in the 7 innings. Again, super small sample size, but when they're trying to figure out who's the number 5 starter, is he a guy that we can put right back in there? He has some major league experience, or do you want to start him off at AAA, go dominate for like 4 weeks against minor league hitters, and then you'll be ready to come up here, but somebody to watch for sure.
And I think, obviously, the Twins are the favorites to win the Central. I think Twins fans would love another addition at some point into the rotation, but just internal, external, you know, adds and departures and Sonny Gray, Kenta Maeda, they swapped out Sonny Gray and Kenta Maeda for Anthony DeSclafani, Chris Paddock, and hopefully Bailey Ober takes like another step. But just the terms of the two guys entering that are newish and two guys that are leaving, Like, that's a weird bet to make, that you're going to just say goodbye to all of those innings and replace him with one guy whose arm we don't know is even going to be on, and another guy whose arm has barely been on the last 3 years. Like, that bet is an interesting one to make and probably even worth questioning for sure.
Well, it's a bet you make when your ownership says cut $25 or $30 million from the payroll. Like, you know, I don't think they went in the front office strategically saying, okay, payroll be damned. This is the best baseball decision that we can possibly make. They made the decision because they were told to slash $25 or $30 million from the payroll, right?
And that's my question on Paddock. Are they gaslighting themselves, or do they know that? Which I'm guessing it's Dorby. I'm guessing that they know exactly what the price of poker is and that they're taking a chance there. But yeah, I mean, Derek Falvey did not, no question, come in and say, you know what we should do, guys? We should roll the dice,
yeah,
lose Gray. But that being said, I do think if Varlin can come up at some point in time, and Varlin, in my opinion, is going to be ideally, best case, the Ober of last year, which is a guy, he doesn't start the season here. We all think, well, when's he coming up? And then he comes up and eventually makes a difference. I think if Varlin can do that, that's the difference between pulling away in the Central and it possibly being tighter.
Yeah, what they're really doing is, okay, Sonny Gray and Kenta Maeda, those guys are gone. Between Bailey Ober getting better and maybe pitching more innings, and Louis Varland emerging in the starting rotation more. He made what, like 10 starts? So it wasn't like he didn't contribute to the innings load last year. And Simeon Woods Richardson is a guy that's been kind of written off, but they're still stretching him out as a starter. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Paddock, like, they're basically saying, here's two guys that we need to replace, and here's four or five options. Can a couple of them emerge as big time arms? And then a trade. They could always make a trade at some point in the next couple months. But So. All right, those are Twins overreactions, presented in part by our new friends at Nicolay Law, by the way, sponsor of the Score North Twin Show. Shout out to Nicolay Law, who knows that when you or a loved one gets injured, ordinary life can come to a stop. Things can get complicated. During that time, insurance companies are likely to pressure you. They don't care if you get better. They don't care if your medical bills are piling up, but Nicolay Law cares. They've seen every play, every pitch the insurance companies throw. And they'll go all the way to make sure that you get the compensation you deserve after an accident. So start on your path to winning at NicolayLaw.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLAY, Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers. Get Nicolay, boys. So, all right. Overreactions. Trevor Plouffe in the mix starting in a couple of weeks. Awesome. And we're excited for the Score North Twin Show. And by the way, I believe this is the first episode, if you're maybe watching this already, that's available on the new Score North Twin Show YouTube channel. So starting this week, all episodes of the Score North Twin Show can be found on Apple and Spotify for the audio audience, as usual. But on the visual side, we have launched our third YouTube channel, the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel. So we've got almost 800 subscribers before even posting an episode. So thank you guys for jumping on board. Click the subscribe button and the like button on the new YouTube channel. If you're having a hard time finding it, just go to the Score North or Purple Daily YouTube channels and you'll see it on the homepage. If you scroll down, you'll see links to all of our three YouTube channels. So anything else to add here before we say goodbye?
Matt Wallner,
I don't think so.
Do better. Solidify your spot. Don't have a terrible spring. That's all I got.
A pep talk from Matt Wallner. All right. That's a wrap. We'll see you guys later this week. Score North Twin Show.